Sure, some of you snuck and I didn't even get to see you. Welcome, everyone. It is really good to have each and every one of you here. Thank you, Lord, that you have stirred in these beautiful mums a desire to meet together in community. I pray that you would do a beautiful work in their hearts today, that those who need to be encouraged would be encouraged. Those who are feeling at the end of their tether, maybe exhausted, that you would almost turn back the clock, Lord. I think of that one king who almost stopped in his tracks as he was walking up the stairs and time was turned back. Sometimes as moms, we feel like we just need to catch up on something. I pray that you would turn the hours back. Just give sleep, Lord. Tonight, as they get home, get into their beds tonight, that actually you will bless them with beautiful rest. I pray, Lord God, that 1 hour would feel like six, that actually you can do a beautiful restorative work in their hearts today. And those that are encouraged, Lord, I pray that they would just bubble over into this community, that they would encourage someone who is next to them, or before they leave today, there would be an impartation of extreme joy. I pray, Father, those who are not well or they've got sick kids, I pray that your healing power would just rest upon them. Holy Spirit, I believe you can even now, just with our simple words, you can bring healing. I pray from the coughs and colds to the more serious matters that people are dealing with. I pray your healing power, Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit would just drip over those little bodies and bring healing. Father, I want to thank you that we have the privilege of gathering together in such a free way, that none of us had to fight through roadblocks of confessing our faith, but we just cruise along here, enjoy a lovely coffee, and we share time about just your beautiful name, Jesus. So I pray that you'd be with each one of us today. In your precious name, amen. So, today, we have a wonderful, precious young lady who's going to share with us. And I wasn't here last week, but I just heard the beautiful reports of just how special it is to be honest and vulnerable and open and praying for each other and like almost catching a breath. And I want to thank you, God, that you just work in those beautiful ways amongst us, and that as a team we can facilitate something of God's presence. And Marika, if you want to come up here. In preparing for today, I had the most wonderful time yesterday because I didn't have a car. It was in for a service. And my kids said, do you want to use one of my cars? You know, one of their cars. And I said, no, thank you. I'd just like to be homebound. It was such a lovely excuse. I couldn't fetch anything. I couldn't deliver anything. I couldn't rush to anyone. I just stuck at home. And I was praying about this morning and going through Proverbs. Rory gave me a beautiful book to look through. It's called The Branch by Michael Eaton, and he is such a clever man, and he takes the complexities of Scripture and puts them into our basic, my basic language. And I've re-gone over Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and then I went through 4, and I did 5 and 6. And it was so helpful. And he starts off Proverbs and he says, and this is just a recap for some of you who might not have been here for the past few weeks. He says, the book of Proverbs can be broken down because there's so many little bits of truth that it can get a bit confusing. So he says, you've got to take some things personally and then some things for the community. So like finances and dealing with difficult people, and that it's about community, but a lot of it is personal. And I thought, as a mom, the personal actually is for myself and for my kids, because I want to impart scriptural truths. And I thought about you sharing, Marika, and I remember when I first met you, it was a very tender moment. I had you saved on my phone as Anthea's friend, because Anthea introduced us. And it was from a place of real brokenness and desperation for God to intervene. And when I look at you now, I see this mom who has a passionate love for her boys and who is strong and desiring to take every bit of the truth of God and impart them into your kids. And I want to commend you before you even speak, because you are you're going to give an impartation today from tenderness and brokenness to a woman who stands on scripture and who demands to be healed and to be secure in the promises of God. So today, as Marika shares, won't you open your hearts? Because she's been on a journey with God and she takes scripture seriously. And she's going to speak to us today. God bless you.
Enjoy. Thanks, Mel. Thank you that I get to stand here as a mom, one whose brain might not be working, so I might just be reading off my notes. But yeah, it's nice. Sorry, it's nice to be able to share and know that you will have grace for me, because I know that you need it too. They say be careful what you pray for. Well, I guess what I prayed. A very dangerous prayer. I prayed Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I'm sure I don't need to describe the crime scene in too much detail, because we're all living it. That moment of boys screaming, everyone crying, just utter mayhem and mess. And then eventually, by the time my husband comes home after the Santon commute, me crying and breaking down. When everything else looks settled and normal, then it's my turn to break down. So I've got one of those moments frozen like a snapshot in my mind, where it was just too much. And I had a couple of weeks that it was really, really difficult. I've got the two cutest little boys, and they are, it's a beautiful thing to see how they're becoming buddies, but it's also terrifying, because in Afrikaans means hulle sweep mekaar op en hulle maak mekaar, hulle so stoute glinster in hulle oog, wat die een die ander een net nog meer stout maak. It's like they're pushing each other to push my buttons. And it's been quite a thing to balance that, not to kill that fire in them, and the balance between cute and stout gat. There was a specific week where it felt like utter defiance, and nothing I tried worked, and everything seemed to make it worse. I tried to speak nicely, I shouted, I gave hidings according to the handbook, not just slap, like take them away out of the situation and then calmly talk to them and give a hiding. Didn't work. Bribery didn't even work. Like, it just felt like every attempt at disciplining them failed. And we also have a puppy, so the puppy disciplining was also not going well. So tried everything, and then eventually, when it didn't work, I ended up just praying. I just said, Here, ek weet nie hoe nie, ek weet nie waar toe nie. I don't even know what to pray for, just Lord, how? As God does, he answers. But he didn't answer in a, ach, sies toch, Marika, shame. He didn't answer like that. I got a, check yourself. And it was literally like a, check yourself, Macy. Check yourself before you wreck yourself kind of vibe. And I was like, okay, cue Proverbs 4. So there's so, so much, like Mel said, so much to unpack in every proverb. And I think Proverbs 4, when Mel said that we were going to do Proverbs as a series, I got stuck on Proverbs 4. 4 is my lucky number. It's an easy thing of like, what are you going to speak on? It's like, I pick 4. And I was like, what does it say? I should probably go check what it says. And it was verse 23 that, like, it stuck. But then I started reading, as you should, from the start of Proverbs 4, and really, like, you know, trying to listen. So those verses leading up to verse 23 helped me to understand the question marks that followed my desperation, and it actually helped me to figure out where, yeah, the steps to get my heart and my head where it should be. So then I asked God, how do I do this? Dis weer daai Here, hoe? Ek weet nie hoe nie, ek weet nie hoe om met te benader nie, ek weet nie hoe om te vra nie, ek weet nie hoe om daar te kom nie. So just, how, Lord? I need your wisdom. And then it struck me, miskien is dit omdat ek Afrikaans is, maar wat is wysheid? Like, what is this wisdom everyone is on about? So I don't always get to be and sit in mom's group and focus, because I like hiding behind a camera lens and I like taking photos of your little ones and I like checking that the sound is fine and that the headsets work. Like, I like that part because I can control it. But then I had to go back in my notes and read what wisdom is, or try and find out for myself. And my notes said, it is the highest goal to pursue in life. It is what will help me raise my boys with virtue, integrity, generosity. Wisdom promises life, success, and peace. And it is the resource to accomplish purpose. And I think that's exactly what I need and what I'm after. I don't just want to survive. I don't just want to grin and bear it. But I want to find joy and fulfillment in being a mom. And I want my boys to, yeah, just to know that I actually enjoy being their mom, that it is a fun thing to parent. So how do I get it? How do I get this wisdom? Proverbs 4, verse 1 to 9 in the NIV says, listen, my sons. It's like that me taking Ethan's face and cupping his face and saying, kyk vir mama, luister, luister my seun. Listen to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. It's like, stick with me if you want to live kind of vibes. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. So how do I get it? The Bible is quite clear on this, and in all the different translations, the actual language is, it's quite clear. It says, ask for it. Go get wisdom. Pursue it. Get understanding at all costs. Write it at the top of your to-do list. Pay attention, invest in it, hold on to it, and over and over again, hold on to it, hold on to it, just hold on to it. Don't forget it. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously, and it will be given to him. I mean, we don't only get to ask of it, we get to ask a God who will give it generously. I mean, if Solomon could have asked for wisdom to run a nation or to lead a nation, surely I should be able to get wisdom to run two little terrorists. So why did I have to check myself? Verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Just like the way I discipline, that knee-jerk reaction, that snap, that snapshot moment frozen in time of after the discipline went south and it didn't go as planned, and I end up with feelings of guilt and shame, and I think back, yo, who like my heart on? If this is what is coming out of me when that happens, like something isn't right. As ek altyd geïrriteerd of skuins weg beneek is, surely I don't really want to answer the question, how do my boys see me? I had to think hard if I'm trying to control them or correct them. I've had to check myself to be reminded that discipline is discipleship. And that God can take the difficult, messy moments and ordinary household habits and make them a place of extraordinary spiritual formation. In Justin Whitmore Early's words, that's the guy that writes Habits of the Household, he says, we become our habits and our children become us. For me, that's a little bit scary. I want them to be like me, but also I really don't want them to be like me. Check yourself. Do these moments show an image of unconditional gospel love? I think there's a song that I was listening to in the week, and it says, God's mercies are new because he knew we'd forget. And I'm so grateful for that, because even this check yourself, Marika, the reprimand or the reminder to repent and to reconcile isn't a harsh one, but it comes from a loving God with new mercy. And the Proverbs is such a heartfelt appeal to keep your heart tender, because everything you do flows from your heart. We guard what we love and cherish. When we don't do what we think about, we do what we love. And what we love, we talk about. And what we cherish, we act on. And that made me wonder if I actually love God's word enough. Do I love it enough to be confident in my instruction like Solomon is in his? It's that alignment of the head and the heart. They say that the heart follows habit. So I know I need to do the right thing, but I also want to love to do the right thing. Watch over your heart, because your attitudes and your values come from it. Be vigilant. This is where intention and purpose are found. Things like impatience, self-pity, resentment, and irritability and snappiness and all the other things that go along with it, are signs that something isn't right and needs to be repented and dealt with. Everything of great significance is related to your heart. The love of God flows to us through our hearts, flows to us and through us from our hearts. So guard your heart. Your heart is like a phone. It is always listening. And what flows from it is what you feed it. So check yourself. These moments or challenges and the sacred place we call home is where we worship. And the work is so worthy. I often complain that I hardly get time to read my Bible because it's busy. And like this morning when I got up or when I woke up, I grabbed my devotional, and just seconds later, my youngest would then cry or something would happen. But then you wonder, God, how do I worship? But actually, in every small thing we do is worship. Changing that nappy or going through the routine, everything is worship. So the question is not whether we are worshiping. The question is, what are we worshiping? What is the story playing out in your home? So I got some check yourself points. Who are you listening to? What are you saying? Where are you looking? When do you plan your path? And why do you stray? I'll repeat them. These are just the points that I had to ask God, but okay, fine. Some mooi versie, guard your heart. But what does it mean to guard your heart? How do I guard my heart? So the first point, who are you listening to? Verse 20 of Proverbs 4, turn your ear to my words. You can't disciple without being discipled to first. That's that thing. We know better. We know what's good and what's right. But yeah, do we really do it? Mal introduced me to, I think I was complaining about never getting time and not knowing scripture and I can't read a full sentence without being interrupted or distracted. And Mal mentioned it before, but Project of Love is such a beautiful way of listening to scripture. You can find it on wherever you listen to music, but I've downloaded it on iTunes and I play it in the background. Mal says she always gardens with one of her earphones in with that scripture, just them singing it over and over. And eventually, I think I wake up now at night or when the kids wake me, and I wake up with those songs playing in my head already on repeat, just listening to it in the car. My boys are even asking for it. And it's such a beautiful way to actually meditate on scripture. If you don't have time to read, let them sing it over you. And some of it is really catchy. So that helps with that. Who are you listening to? There's also a handy thing where they say scripture before phone in the mornings, as that sets the narrative of your day. So even if you have to put it on a Bluetooth speaker, we wake up in the mornings and our mornings are not our own, but if you can play it in the background, that works as well. The next point or checkpoint, what are you saying? Verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Another translation says, put away crooked speech and devious talk. Put an asterisk here big bold letters. I need to do a better job of speaking loving and kind words and intentionally inviting the Spirit to govern my words, especially in those moments. If I could climb back into that snapshot photo of that moment that went wrong and that have played over and over, if I could climb back in there and I could go back and I could go choose my words and govern my words and just think, how could I discipline in a kind and loving way? Maybe that would have made all the difference. Pausing before speaking. I'm not very good at that, especially because what I think usually is written on my forehead before I say it. They call it pause prayers. Before you discipline, you pause and you pray. God, help me speak to my little boy or my little one like you would have spoken to him in this situation. Just this morning, just before Noah started crying, I quickly grabbed my devotional. And it's actually so beautiful, I'm going to read more than I was planning to. It says, the light of my presence is shining upon you and benedictions of peace. Let my light shine in you. Don't dim it with worries or fears. Holiness is letting me live through you. Since I dwell in you, you are fully equipped to be holy. Pause before responding to people or situations, giving my spirit space to act through you. Hasty words and actions leave no room for me. I want to inhabit all your moments, gracing your thoughts, words, and behavior. How's that for a check yourself? Next point, where are you looking? Verse 25 to 26. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. As I was typing my notes here, I actually realized, shucks, if God says gaze directly before you, it means don't look back. I think so often, we look at the past and we think about all our offenses or hurts or, just all the things that have hurt you in the past. And I think that's the difference between guarding your heart and a guarded heart. A guarded heart is like a fortress. It's not the tender, open, soft heart where God can flow through you. And often we're looking in the wrong place. I say far too often we are entertained by the things Christ died for. Then another thing of where you are looking, and I'm so guilty of this, I say that if you have sort of a, if you do social media for someone other than yourself, you have a license to be on your phone a lot. But anyway, I think if you are looking here, then you can't make eye contact. And if you can't make eye contact or you can't be bodily present, you can't love people like the way God says, love him and love other people. So looking at your phones the whole time, we live around others and not with them. And I think I've been living around, I work at 3CI. I think I'm living around a lot of people and around the word. And I'm scared I'm living around my kids, but I'm not present to the task. And I'm easily distracted. Next point, when do you plan your path? Verse 26, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Other translation says, ponder your path. Set aside time to fill your heart and set your destination. A GPS works best when it is charged and when you actually type in the right location. Last point, why do you stray? Why are you distracted? Don't leave the path of heaven. Do not turn right or left. It leaves you exposed. Jesus said in Luke 6 verse 45, the good man brings good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the treasure of his heart. For out the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't think of myself as evil, but if I take a really hard look, I wonder sometimes if it's good or if it's evil or if it's a good treasure. I don't think it looks like a very good treasure, mostly. Our reactions, our tones, our decisions, our private moments and public words all become channels for his life to touch others. I'm reminded of what Rory said about your tone is under the authority of Christ. So if you think about that, then our reactions, our tones, our decisions, our private moments and our public words are all under the authority of Christ. We are either refreshing the people around us or draining them. And I think that counts for the little people too. So let's check ourselves. Guarding your heart is not about pretending to be better than you are, but it is inviting God to do the honest, searching work within you, to let him check you. So may God help us to purify the spring of our hearts so that the waters that flow out of us to our little ones look more like him. As I was preparing for this, I got tired and I had to go for a run. And I was listening to Project of Love on my earphones, and the song that was playing was Deuteronomy 8. I wish, Clarice, that I could sing as beautiful as you. I should have sent you this. The words are, walk down the roads he shows you, reverently respect him. God is about to bring you into a good land with brooks and rivers, springs and lakes, streams out of the hills and through the valleys. Make sure you don't forget God, your God. Men and women don't live by bread only. We live by every word that comes from God's mouth. Don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God. Yeah, that was another checkpoint. I think it's short and sweet. I think for me, I was just really grateful to know that God is gentle, even in his reprimand. There's so much grace, and I'm so grateful for that. I said this morning, for me, it's easier to come here and to share my testimony than to actually share on God's word, because I don't think I'll ever be qualified to do that. It's weighty, and I'm not a preacher or whatever, but it's just so beautiful that we can come. Just come and be. I completely forgot my point now. I made a lot of points. My brain worked up to now, but I just felt I needed to encourage you that I just reached the point where I realized asking questions and finding out like what wisdom really is. How do you get it? How do I take scripture? How do I take a proverb and unpack it for myself and let God show me and not just rely on Mel or someone else to unpack it for me? I love making notes and I love listening to the teachings of everyone. And I always rely on everyone else to unpack it and teach it to me. But I think I'm in a spot where I'm so desperate for God to teach me in my situation. That moment, sorry, I'm getting so emotional over it, but that moment of utter desperation to see that I can't imagine. God, step into that moment. Pour out your wisdom on me in this situation, in this moment. It is such a beautiful responsibility to raise kids for the kingdom of God. And I think you can either do it really well or you can break them. And I don't want to break my boys. I don't want to break those spirits. They've got big spirits. I don't want to break it. But I need wisdom for it. And that is my prayer for everyone. May we chase after that wisdom and pursue it. Yeah.
Beautiful. I think in that last minute, the Holy Spirit just came upon some of you. And if I can ask you to be bold, if you have found yourself in that last little while, in that moment of desperation, won't you stand? Let's get Marix to pray. Be bold. Come and stand right here. Let's step out and trust God for an impartation. I think she's found something very precious in her honesty and vulnerability. Let's join her in that moment of asking God to impart into us. So if that is you, won't you come forward? Let's get Marix to pray for us.
Take your time. Impart what God is going to do.
Us moms will know to close the lid first. No? Sure. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come just as we are, in the busyness, in the mess, in our minds that are everywhere. Dankie dat ons kaal voet voor U kan kom staan, want hierdie is heilige grond. Thank you, Father, that you will pick us, even if we are broken and needy, that we get to raise broken, needy little ones to fix their eyes on you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you say in your word that when we ask, you will give generously. I pray for a generous impartation, Lord, of wisdom, spiritual wisdom and knowledge and understanding, God. I pray that you will make us hungry for that, that we will pursue it with everything in us, that you will come into those little moments, that you will come powerfully into those little moments and help us just breathe you in before we discipline. And in those moments where we feel we don't know how to, God, that you will come and you will come hold our hands up. Lord, you say that you will take us into a good place where streams and brooks and lakes and rivers, or even coming in the hills, on the high places, but even in the valleys, Lord, in the low places, the lowest of low. The sound of rushing water is so peaceful, but there's so much power in it. I pray that you will flow through these moms, these ladies, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we get to stand in faith for each other and that we can pray in your holy name. Thank you, Father, that you take us as we are, but you never leave us the same.
I think today was a beautiful display of how God can work through all of us. Marika, actually what you did is you preached the word of God today. You preached the word of God, you took the truths of scripture and you opened it up to us, and you spoke with a peace that none of us felt threatened. And I love the scripture where it says that God leads those with young gently. And you literally did that today. You helped his powerful presence come through you and you led us gently. And so thank you for that. And congratulations on preaching the word of God.
Yes, so well.
In that same Proverbs 4, Solomon, whoever the writer was, he speaks about how his father taught him, and now he's imploring again and again, desperately, through Proverbs 4, about listening and finding and searching out wisdom and staying on the pathway. And I love that generational thing. It wasn't just enough to have it from his father to him. And remember, if it was Solomon, he messed up badly, but he came to his senses. And then now he's saying, I've seen how I've messed up. Please listen to this wisdom and take it forward. And so we've had someone with young speak to us today, and the whole generational thing. Next week we have Georgina, who's going to share with us. And she's someone who has gone ahead of most of you. And it's going to be, again, that I've seen what God can do.
please listen to God's wisdom. And so I encourage you to come along next week again. God is busy doing something deep with us. And those of us who have stood today to receive this encouragement, let's be bold and have more built upon it next week. Let's take this and be serious about it. Don't let it get snatched away, because you're going to be busy this afternoon. You're going to get in your car now and you're, oh my goodness, I'm running late. And you're going to go for the next thing. But don't lose. God did something very special here today. So I thank you, Lord, for every one of these ladies. May you go with them. May they have opportunities of imparting the pathway towards Jesus in their children, that you would use them again and again to show the gospel, the precious gospel that has been given for each of us. And even if we're standing here and we've messed up, it's been desperate, we're back on the pathway. We have the gospel available to us. Help us impart it into our children. In Jesus' name, God bless you.